If you're not a student of track and field history, you may not recognize Lee Evans' name, but you might remember the impact that he and his teammates had on the 1968 Olympics in Mexico City. Political passion swirled around the games that year. A shocked world saw hosts Mexico preserve order for the games with a massacre of hundreds of student protesters and their supporters just 2 weeks before the opening ceremony. The International Olympic Committee had invited and then uninvited apartheid South Africa to participate. And several African-American track and field athletes, including Evans, made a series of medal stand demonstrations.
We decided to make a protest in the Olympic Games to draw attention to the plight of the black man in America. Man, our country was in trouble in terms of race issues. So our protest was mainly about all those problems and how that we wanted change and equality, desegregation, and get off my back.
Two of Evans' San Jose State University teammates, Tommy Smith and John Carlos, protested first and most famously, bowing their heads on the medal stand and raising their fists in black gloves after placing first and third in the 200 meters. The U.S. Olympic Committee sent them home immediately and banned them from future competitions. It also warned other athletes, including Evans, against making a public display. When Evans and his 400-meter colleagues took to the medal stand, they wore revolutionary-style black berets, but took them off during the national anthem. Their gesture was too militant for many Americans, but not strong enough for many supporters back in San Jose. Bronze medalist Ron Freeman remembers the homecoming.
We did not go through what Lee went through. I came home and had a ticker tape parade, had a day at the football stadium. I think that when Lee came home, he came back to San Jose State as an Olympian, and John and Tommy came back to San Jose State as an Olympian, but in a different level because of the stand they took.
But Evans also came home with the kind of credentials, two world records, that can make young athletes sit up and pay attention. He took those credentials on the road, teaching and coaching all over the world, from California to Nigeria, Saudi Arabia, Qatar, Kenya, and Cameroon. These days, he makes a home in Mobile, Alabama, where he coaches the University of South Alabama's track team.
Good, Jeremiah. That's it. That's what I've been looking for all season.
As a new recruit in 2002, USA runner Jeremiah Carter from Sims, just outside Mobile, was not initially aware of his coach's past accomplishments.
I never heard anything about Coach Evans before, really, because you know, when we first talked to him, I figured he's a regular, you know, good coach and this and that. And it wasn't later until I started to find out what was going on. I was like, wow, you know what? I got me in a position where I could have a good coach who's got a couple gold medals under his belt. So it's not too bad.
Of course, I remember Lee running the 400 meters and coming home charging real strong. And that was his forte. I mean, he could finish like no other.
Three-time Olympic medalist Harvey Glantz was a 10-year-old in Phoenix City when Lee Evans and the other stars of 68 inspired him to new heights. Glantz is now the head track coach for the Crimson Tide.
It showed a lot of his character, and he still carries that today. I mean, he's a warrior. He's fight to the bitter end, and that will always be Lee Evans' trademark, is that, you know, he'll never give up.
The hardships I went through growing up as a young man in America, around people that was not the same color as me. It just happened. You know, we lived in a rural area, and we was the only blacks around. My life was grim growing up, you know. But you know, when I turned 19, you know, it's like I was free, you know. I was a freshman in college. I was number one in the world in the 400 meters. 2 or 3 years before, you see me picking cotton somewhere in Fresno, California. It's a big difference.
You're right.
Evans tries to impart his fighting spirit to his athletes, but he sometimes worries that today's athletes lack some of the drive that he and his colleagues had years ago.
My high school career, my university career, I never missed one day of training. If I missed training, I would be, it's like I lost something, you know? It's like, wow, I missed a whole day of preparation, man. I'm not going to be as good as I could have been if I hadn't missed this training. These kids could care less. They'll miss 5 days in a row.
Set. Good, good, good.
Evans still welcomes a good fight. And before the NCAA regional meet this past spring in Baton Rouge, Coach Coach Evans and assistant coach Ron Davis talked about the challenges of recruiting against powerhouses like the meet's host, LSU.
Yeah, one coach from the Big Ten called me the other day, talking about he's working on the schedule next year. Say, oh, we're going to fly into Stanford. We're going to fly down to Florida. We might drop off at your area, you know, and train there for a week. You know, that's what they do. See, we're always watching our budget. They don't have to watch their budget. Look, that's their weight room right there. Music, top-notch weights. And indoors, inside there, they have an equipment room that's again, you know, they don't have to worry about equipment like we do. They just go in there and there's Nike. There's a room full of equipment with Nike.
Yeah, you know, all we can do is take him to the Red Lobster for dinner and beg him, you know.
Come to your school.
But Coach Evans and Coach Davis can afford to laugh because they have a recruiting network that no other school can boast of. The fruit of more than 40 years of combined coaching experience in Africa and the Middle East, where they helped scores of athletes to navigate the college admissions and student visa processes in the U.S., helping them to earn academic degrees while training to be stars for their own national Olympic teams. Ajoke Odumosu of Nigeria, now a South Alabama sophomore, recalls a recruitment process that never even got to the Red Lobster phase. It was strictly email.
Some of his history was now mailed to me in my box. So I read about him that he's an Olympic medalist, world record for 20 years. It's like, oh, this is great. And he's like, world record in the 400 meters. I said, ooh, that is my event. That means he's very, very good in the 400 meters. So me being with him, I will run a good time in the 400 meters.
As a freshman, Odumosu surprised everybody but her coaches by finishing second in the 400-meter hurdles at the NCAA regional meet to Alabama's Bo Walker. On a team with athletes from as close as Satsuma, Alabama, and from as far as Gulu, Uganda, Odumosu has reason to be excited about the team's future under the guiding eye of her world-class and globe-traveling coach, Lee Evans. For WBHM, I'm Anderson Allen.